So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. We've been on a series for the last 3 or 4 weeks now on the path. And I want to conclude today on the path, part four, paying attention. Paying attention. You know, in this day and time, we live in a society where everybody's distracted while driving. And how many knows that what happens when you're distracted while driving, you wreck? And what happens to you if you live a distracted life, you wreck. And I want to talk to you a little bit about it today. Amen. Be in prayer for Pastor Steve. He married off his daughter last night and was so emotional. He's all sick today. He's so emotional. No, I'm just kidding. He is sick, but I don't think it's because of emotions, but anyway, it might be. I don't know. If he looked at his wallet, I'm sure he's sick. But anyway, it might be what he's throwing up over. But anyway, y'all keep him in prayer. He said he might be able to make it to the 11 o'clock service. Meet much in prayer with him. I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Thank you, musicians. Book of Proverbs. I'm reading from the New International Version just because I like the verbiage that it uses on this particular verse of Scripture. And I want to read it for you. Proverbs 4, verse number 25. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, say hang on. If you ain't planning on finding it, say go ahead. Wow. 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 And you wonder why your life's a wreck. Let me move on. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Now, I know somebody is not texting me in the middle of service. Hang on, let me reply to them. You need to have your behind in church or know that I'm in church. There we go. Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, we talked about the past few weeks. We began with the premise of this verse, or with the premise of this message, that your direction determines your destination. And that makes sense to us. And when it comes to driving down the highway, we understand that if you plan on going to the Super Bowl tonight, that's in Atlanta, that you will never make it there by going south on I-75. That you will never make it. It doesn't matter how much you paid for your tickets. It doesn't matter. You ain't going to make it if you go south because the direction is north. But yet there's a disconnect when we begin to look at our own lives, because we want to blame somebody why we are in the condition that we're in, but it is usually because of a path that you got on and it led you to a destination, and you are either at that destination, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. Can you say amen? And it doesn't matter about it. Listen, I've got a video that I want to show you that back in the early 60s, and I was just a little lad during this time, but there's a quarterback from the San Francisco 49ers who was sacked and fumbled the ball. So a man by the name of Jim Marshall of the Minnesota Vikings picked up the ball, ran it 70 yards into the end zone. The problem was, is he ran in the wrong direction. Come on, show that video real quick. There should be sound on it, but we'll get that the next service. See, he picks it up. There he goes. Running in the wrong. What are you doing? And look, when he gets to the end, like he's done something. Watch him. Woohoo! There it is. He ran in the wrong direction. Now, how many knows that if you go to Google today and you type in Jim Marshall, this is what comes up. Not all the other accomplishments. It's the fact that he ran the wrong way when he had the ball. And some of us are running in the wrong direction and you got the ball. And some of your friends and your pastor is saying you're running in the wrong direction. But you're so good feeling of just being able to run with the ball that you ain't listening to nobody and you're going in the wrong direction. See, at the end of the day, it didn't matter how much Marshall wanted to score a touchdown, he scored a safety because he was running in the wrong direction. And some of us are not where we want to be today because we've ran in the wrong direction. And then we talked about how that the disconnect between our intentions and the path that we actually choose. And then in week two, we talked about how to respond appropriately to the warning signs that the Bible said in, I believe it's 27:12, Proverbs 27:12 says that a wise man sees dangers and hides, but a foolish man keeps going and disregards the signs. And he winds up in a situation, reminding us that the path that we're on is taking us in a direction that sometimes we never intended to go. And then last week we came back and said, even if we're the wisest and most intuitive person on the planet, you still cannot just choose the path based on your understanding and based on what you think, because what you think will mess you up. You still need the direction of the Lord. Can you say amen? You need God in your life in order to do that. And that's why it's always true that direction determines your destination. Oftentimes, though, in trying to head onto a path, it's the things or people that grab or capture our attention that influences the direction of our lives. Now, I want that to sink in. The things or people that grab capture our attention will influence the direction of our lives. How many of you are going in one direction or on a path, and something or somebody grabbed your attention and you begin to go down a different path? Some of y'all are like, oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Because my plan was to get married when I was 35. When I was 35, I had been married for 15 years. I got married when I was 20. Why? Because, man, I am not going to get married. And then something caught my eye. Her name was Sherry. And I went, hey. And that changed the direction of my life. And the rest of it is history. And next Friday, we'll celebrate 33 years of marriage. Come on. And so this morning, I want to close this series and I want to add one last perspective to this principle of the path. And that while it's always true that direction determines your destiny, I want to add to that that what grabs or captures your attention will influence the direction that you're traveling on. Because we've all had those defining moments where we're just traveling along and something or someone captures or grabs our attention. You know, think about the language that of she grabbed my attention. I've grabbed the attention. And point number one, if you're taking notes, and the U-Version should be up now. That's why I was a little bit late coming in. I had some technical difficulties. I think it's up now. But point number one is this. There's a big difference between what grabs our attention and what we choose to give our attention to. Amen? See, because the next thing you know, you're in a very different place than what you expected if you allow things to grab your attention and you're not careful of what grabs it. Because, listen, every man in this place, you can say how holy you are if you want to. If you see a naked woman, you know, be all spiritual if you want to. Leave me out here by myself, that's all right. You see, and listen, she ain't got to be fine. If she naked, it's like looking at a train wreck. You just can't help but look. You know, I'm going to pray for her. Yeah. You ain't going to lay hands on her, though, but you're going to pray, ain't you? Yeah. All right, you see what I'm saying? It just grabs your attention. You know, I've been in y'all's bedroom right now. I know, yeah. Listen, flipping through the channels. You know, it's that thumb up. You're flipping through the channels of something. What? Oh, flip it on through. Come on, somebody. It grabs your attention. And how many knows that every time somebody else is flipping through the channels, you see things you want to watch? That's why in my house we have 3 remote controls. My wife gets 1, I get 2. Now, y'all think I'm kidding. Why? Because Sherry don't know how to operate no remote control. She's a woman. That's right. Send me mail. PastorSteve@CrystalRiverChurchOfGod.com. But everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? How many knows that when somebody else is flipping the channel, stuff grabs your attention like, hey, go back. But you can't find it anymore, right? All right. So we understand this concept. So grabbing our attention has to do with those things that distract us away from our desired destination. Or let me give you another one for you spiritual people, you know. How many of you have gotten ready to pray? You know, you got to have everything right in order for you to have your time with the Lord. You have to get up in the morning and everything has to be right. The coffee has to be exactly right. And the mood has to be right. And you get just about time. You're getting ready to have some alone time with God. And something happens. Oh, I have a hangnail. I got to go take care of that. Oh, I've got to go do this. And you get distracted. Or how many of you decided, I'm going to do this task today. And before they know it, you start cleaning out the garage and you come across boxes that has old things in it, and you spend the next 3 hours going through the old things and never throw away anything that you just went through because of sentimental value. Amen. See, I know what I'm talking about here. It grabs your attention. But while giving our attention to something or someone is all about intentionality. So what is grabbing your attention and what are you giving your attention to? A decision that we intentionally make with God's guidance. That's what we've got to be careful about, is stuff grabbing our attention or the things that we're giving our attention to. Let me tell you something. If you're not intentionally giving your attention to your spouse, let me go ahead and prophesy to you that you're going to have some marital trouble if you don't intentionally give some attention to your spouse. I don't care who they are or what they are. Eventually, that's going to happen. Just going along, doing life, and whoa, God said, I'm going to change the direction on you a bit, and life would never be the same again because something grabbed your attention. But if it grabbed your attention, then you've got to make a decision. Am I going to give it my attention? You may wish that you had given more attention to how to handle your finances, how to paid more attention to your marriage, paid more attention to your health, your spiritual life, whatever the case is, but you've got to be intentional about it, because if you just walk along in life letting whatever and whoever grab your attention, then you're going to lose a season of your life and you're going to wind up over here saying, what happened? I don't want to stress any of you out, but the first month of 2019 is already gone. And in some ways, it's a blur. See, for some of you, there may be something that has captured you. Something that grabbed a hold of you. Whatever gets our attention in life, whether they are grabbed or given, direction, or whether it's grabbed or given, it influences our direction of our life. So if we all look back at our lives, there have been clearly things, people that have impacted our life, right? That have impacted our direction. You know, my youngest daughter, she struggled with math during the elementary part of her life. But in the sixth or seventh grade, there was a teacher that somehow grabbed her attention, somehow turned it around, and made her not only love math, but want to become a math teacher. Now she's a secondary mathematics teacher. But something grabs your attention. Something changes the direction of your life, whether it is right or not. Wrong, it happens. Either way, right now, whatever has already captured your attention, whatever you're giving your attention to, right now, in this moment, they're having an impact on your entire life. Whether financially, relationally, spiritually, morality, professionally, physically, whatever it might be. Over and over again in scriptures, God reminds us how both the things that we give our attention to and the things that capture our attention has the potential of influencing the direction of our entire lives. Look at and write it down. Psalms 119:35. You can still write it down. Here's what David said. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. He's asking God, Lord, direct my path. Lord, direct my path. And then in verse 37, he says, turn my eyes or my attention away from worthless things. Is anybody else in the building find yourself some days running around doing worthless things, and when you got done, you're tired, but you can't see anything that you got accomplished? Lord, direct my eyes. Lord, turn my eyes, turn my attention away from worthless things. Direct me, guide me in the paths you have for me and not that I want for myself. Why? Because if I focus on worthless things, so often I find myself moving in the direction of worthless things. If you just focus on worthless stuff, that's what you're going to move in that direction. That stuff that doesn't mean anything. Again, all of us, no matter where we're at spiritually, everybody can tell a story in their lives about when our attention got fixed on something that we knew we should walk away from. You got fixated. One translation says that our eyes are fixated. What did you get your eyes fixated on? David writes, please, I want my eyes to be fixed on the things that matter. Let my eyes look straight ahead. Our text, he said, fix my gaze. One translation said, I am fixated. What are you fixated? What did you fix your eyes on? What goal have you placed in front of you that you want to be at? What goal did you put there? Don't let me get so fixated on things that are worthless, because attention influences direction, and every direction has a destination. Now, point number two is this: attention determines direction. I used to ride motorcycles a little bit, and I didn't start riding, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, 2011, I think it was, that Jim got me really started riding, and he created a monster, and I love it. But when I was really learning how to ride, here's what they'll tell you in motorcycle school that I didn't go to, but anyway, that they'll tell you to look through the curve. When you're taking the curve, look through it. Don't look where you're at. Because where you're at, well, if you look at the line, you'll go to the line. If you look over here, you're going to go that direction. Look through it. Look to the other side of it. And some of you are so fixated on where you're at and where you're not, you need to get a vision from God and begin to look at where God's taking you and saying, I can go through what I'm going through because I know where I'm going. I'm going on the other side. There might be some trouble right now where I am, but I believe that God is taking me through the trouble. And when I get onto the other side, I'm going to be a better person. person than I am on this side. So I just can't get fixated on where I am or what I'm going through, but I realize that I'm going through it. For God hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I know that what I'm going through is not the end of who I am. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because He is with me. And as long as He is with me, I've got hope, I've got joy, and I can look through the storm. Hey, hallelujah. Why is this repeated so often in Scripture? Because whatever gets your attention determines the direction of your life. What are you focused on? That's why the devil likes to get your focus on so many other things. Because that's what you're going to be going. Listen, I don't care who you are. If you focus over here, but you're trying to go straight, there's going to be some variations. There's going to be some variations. So what so often captures your attention isn't straight ahead, but it's on your left and on your right. It's on what we would call the periphery. It's the things that, hey, we're headed here. Hey, what's over there? And then it's real bad if you got ADD, HD, high definition, ADD. I got ADD, DDDDDDD, but I'm in high definition when I do it. Because but I get so squirrel. You know what I mean? What I'm talking about? You're just man. You're like I'm on it, and then you go down a rabbit trail. I mean, if y'all been in this church long enough, you know that I chase rabbits. And some of you don't think I know, but I know that I chase rabbits. I just don't always tell you that I'm about to chase a rabbit. I just chase it. Don't let whatever might be on the left or right capture your gaze or grab your attention. Because you can look at it. You know, when I was going on my, I did a cross country, for those of you who don't know, most of you do. I did a cross country trip on my motorcycle with my brother. And I had a GoPro mounted on my helmet. And sometimes I would try to look around and I would move slowly and I'd be looking over here, trying to keep my eye over here, but let the camera catch what I'm looking at over here. And I realize I am really traveling dangerously. Because I'm trying to keep my eye ahead, but my head is turning. Somebody needs to hear me. I'm trying to keep my eye, I'm trying to go in a direction, but I'm straining my eyes to keep that way, but turning my head this way, and I realize that I'm traveling dangerously. And what I decided is that I was just going to take in the sights, and if some got on the GoPro, so be it. Because I wanted to make it to the end of the journey. I wanted to arrive at the destination that I had planned on. Come on, somebody. Because where our gaze goes, we go. As our attentions goes, we go. And so if something grabs your attention or grabs or captures our lives, and by grabbing a hold of our lives, is able to grab a hold of our futures as well. So Solomon said, let your gaze be fixated. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Then hundreds of years later, Jesus weighs in on the number of this same principle in Matthew 6:22. And he says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. You see, in those days, it was, of course, long, long, long time ago. Pastor, how was it? I don't know. You'd have to ask Gypsy, somebody much older than me. And because Gypsy was there when Jesus fed the 5,000. No, I'm just kidding. But Jesus, in those days, they would walk out at night and they would carry an oil lamp. And sometimes they would take the oil lamp and put it on a stick further out from them so that they could see the way they were walking. They didn't have spotlight and 4,000 lumens and those things back then. They didn't have mag lights and such. But what they would have is these lanterns. And sometimes as they would walk where the light went the entire way, because the only way they could see was what the light lighted up. All right, now, with that said, in other words, your eye, the things you choose to look at, to gaze upon, to pay attention to, will end up being your guide through life. Can I tell you the problem with some people who are trying to live a Christian life? Bump your neighbor and say, wake up, this is important. I'll tell you one of the biggest problems. Is you let mama and daddy, what mama and daddy told you, instead of what this tells you. Well, mama said alligators are mad because they got so many teeth. Some of y'all get that about lunchtime. No, what does the word of God say? Well, mama said, no, what? I don't care what mama said. I know you love your mama, and I love your mama too. But what does God say? Because that's what matters, is what God says. We got to pay careful attention to it. You know, years after Jesus, the author of Hebrews, Paul, almost said the same exact thing to a group of Christians who were beginning to get distracted themselves. Here's what he said in Hebrews 2:1. We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard and not drift away. See, most Christians don't just wake up one day and go, I'm just not going to serve God anymore. No, they're drift away because their focus is not on God. Their focus is on somebody got their parking spot. Their focus is I preach too long. Their focus is it's too loud, it's too soft, it's too that. Somebody made me mad. Somebody offended me. Their focus is there and they just drift away. Why? Because their eyes wasn't focused. You know, I remember one of my first or second dates with Sherry. She lived in Panama City, and we went to the beach. I'll never forget. I can tell you the bathing suit she was wearing. Jesus, Lord, God. Anyway, I can tell you that we was floating on a float. She was on one side, I was on the other side, and we were just talking. And before we knew it, we had drifted out past the pier where they were fishing for sharks. But I didn't care. Because I was fixated. Girl, talk to me, girl. Yeah, yeah. I will beat down a shark up in him. Come on, somebody. And then we realized it because something caught our gaze. Thank God it wasn't a fin, but it was the pier. And I go, ooh, we're pretty far out here. She says, oh, my Lord, the sharks are here. We need to get back in. And so I left her and started swimming back. No. So I swam us back to shore. Now, in other words, here's the deal. If you're not purposeful to pay attention to the right things, you'll slowly drift off the path that God has you on. And so keep your eyes straight ahead of you. And the way to do this, pay attention. Pay attention. Look, in driver's ed, you know, when I first started driving a car, much less a motorcycle, when I started driving a car, I thought the only thing that I had to do is look right above. I mean, when you first started driving, you just look right over the hood of the car. You know, back in those days when I started driving, they'd have a hood ornament. And I try to put that ornament in the center. All right, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I try to put that ornament right there and keep me. And I was always over-correcting. Well, I could preach right there for a little while. I was always over-correcting. I was never relaxed. I was always tense. Why? Because I wasn't looking at the right thing. I didn't have the right balance. I didn't have the right perspective. I was only able to relax when I would look ahead. Come on, somebody. Pay attention. Because whatever your eyes are fixed upon will determine the direction you end up going. Whatever you're fixated on, you'll tend to go in that direction. So the writer of Hebrews says, look, you need to decide what you're going to pay attention to, because what you pay attention to impacts the direction of your life. What are you paying attention to? What are you paying attention to? You got to decide. So if you think about it, we're so committed and so good and so slick and so smart, so careful as to avoid this. He says, no. No, you got to be, go ahead and stare long enough in the wrong direction, and sure enough, you'll end up in a place you don't want to be. Here's the problem. The problem is that it's all of this is so easy to see in other people's lives. Amen. Hey, how many of you, don't point at them, but how many of you know people, if they would just listen to you, you could fix their life? I could fix their life if they just listen to me. Huh. Where'd they go astray? Oh, I can tell you exactly. But with your own life, you go, where did I go astray, God? Because you have perspective, right? It's so easy because every one of us has seen a friend, seen a family whom we love get distracted, and we've all heard the same thing. This is no big deal. I can handle it. I got this. I'm just taking a look. I'm just checking out this website this one time. I was talking to a person who was struggling with pornography, who was a minister. And don't look at me like that. He was struggling with pornography. And you know how it started, he told me? He said, well, I was doing research. And I just got caught up in it. Well, when I'm doing a sermon on drinking, I'm not going to go get drunk. Come on, somebody. But anyway, it's what you get caught up in. You can see this in the lives of other people, and yet it's be so difficult to see this in your own, at work in your own lives. How many of you heard someone close to you say something like this? I think you're spending too much time with so and so. Didn't it? Everybody's just looking straight ahead. Mm-mm. No, sir. I think you're spending too much time with this person. You know, my wife, and I used to think, you know, when I first started pastoring, I thought my wife was just a jealous person. Because she'd say, hey, be careful of so-and-so. Sherry, they're just friendly. They don't mean nothing by it. I've learned to listen to my wife. That'll help you. And listen, if your wife is wrong, still listen to your wife, because you're going home with her. And listen, ladies, listen to your husband. Quit spending so much time looking at the UPS driver in his little shorts. See, here's the thing. We see ourselves in control, just dabbling in something that you know isn't the best. Point number three is this. I'm trying to bring it in for a close. Important questions to answer. Here's some important questions you got to answer. First of all, you got to ask this question. What's been grabbing your attention? What's captured your affection? What's captured your attention? What's captured your affection? And it doesn't have to be something bad. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that I know folks who have rented a beach house for the summer, and that ain't a bad thing if you can afford it. That's a great thing, especially when you let your pastor use it a weekend or during the week while you're at work. Come on, somebody. I'll take a day off. That's a great thing. But how many times have you seen it or heard, well, I'm just going to do this because I want to bless my family, and the next thing you know, you don't see them in church. And then they just drift. Or how many times, well, I bought a boat for our family so that we can have quality time, and now it seems like the only time that they can go fishing or scalloping is on Sunday. It don't have to be bad things. You know, it's not always, oh my God, they're spending so much time with this. No, it could be good things that are causing them to drift away. How about this? And you know, oh, well, you know, my children love sports, and so now we're paying hundreds, and it winds up being thousands of dollars to travel for travel ball, and you never see them at church. And what you're telling your children are the important things is sports and not God. What you're telling them is, oh yeah, well we're doing this so we can have family time. And what you're telling them is that God is not important in your family time. Oh, I'm preaching good right here. The next thing you know, their kids are disconnected with church, and they're connected with not a bad crowd, just a crowd that leads them away from a true relationship from God. Well, that's not what I meant to do. It's not about what your intentions were. It's about a path that you get on. It's about a path that you get on. They got distracted by a good thing, and before they even notice what happened, the direction of life has shifted. And now they think that God is not to be number one. God is something that I can always come back to. That God is something that I come to when I need help instead of helping me along in life. Listen, I thank God that he's a catcher, and he helps me and he catches me when I fall. But wouldn't it be better if he directed my path so that I wouldn't fall? If he directed my path so that I wouldn't have to, indeed, I wouldn't have to. I thank God that God delivered me out of some things, but I thank God even more that my children didn't have to be delivered out of, because God delivered them from and kept them from it. Good preaching, Pastor. Attention influences direction, which determines destination. I know families right now who have never got back into church because they got drifted off because of some good things. What has begun to capture your attention? Answer that question to yourself. A person, a thing, an activity. Because we all know people, and I know some people who they're either all in or nothing. You know, they come to church and they're in church for 6 months and they're doing everything. I mean, they're here when you don't even want them here. No, dude, we're not open tonight. Go home, we don't have a service. Oh, I'm going to church. And then the next day on, they're on to something else, and they're all in the... No, God wants us to have a balance. They let things drift them away. You need to know that because it influences the direction of your life, it could keep you from becoming the kind of person that God has called you to become. Second question you need to answer is, what do you need to begin giving or paying attention to? What has captured your attention, and what should you begin to give your attention to? What should you be giving your attention to? Can I tell you, that this is not something I'm preaching that I've just, you know, thought it would be a good sermon. This is something I live. I have lived and am living. Wait a minute, you're the preacher. That's right. I am the preacher. I'm the pastor. Been doing it 30 years almost now. But can I tell you that I still have to decide what's going to get my attention? Because as a pastor of over 700, 800 people, there are all kind of things that would like to get my attention, and so I have to decide yes, yet no, 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 yes, no, 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 yes, yes, no, and have to decide what I'm going to give attention to, because if I don't, I will let everybody else live their lives and I won't have one. So I've got to be intentional and I got to be conscientious. And I've decided what I'm going to give my attention to. And even as a pastor who's trying to do his best to not only serve God, but to serve the people of God and to minister to the people of God, I still have to be intentional, because I can get so busy, and I tell this to our staff all the time, that you can get so busy doing the work of God that you forget God. So you have to be intentional about what you're giving more attention to. And I don't know, you know, this 21 days of fasting and prayer that we just did, it was just one of the most significant times that I've ever fasted on the 21 days. And maybe it was because I focused on the right things. I don't know. But I just know that it was something incredible for me. I mean, don't forget that with God's help, we don't have to be pulled around and controlled by our emotions or our second circumstances. We can decide what we give our attention to, so that you don't need to give or pay attention to. You got to ask God, Lord, direct me, guide me, fix my gaze. For some of you, you need to give more attention to your spiritual life. If your faith seems like a scrawny prune instead of a juicy plum, you might need to give some attention to your spiritual life. If your spiritual life is then yeah, you probably need to give some attention to it. If you find yourself spiritually bored or apathetic, maybe you need to not only learn what Jesus taught, but pay more attention to what Jesus did, like caring for the poor, praying for the sick. The reason we don't do these things is often because something else has gotten our attention. What about your health? How about those friends who can really encourage you? Is that something that you need to pay more attention to? What about your marriage? Maybe after a little time you began drifting along on autopilot. Listen, I understand, especially if you have young kids. Man, you get those young kids, you get so busy taking care of the kids that you forgot you were married. You're not just roommates. And let me tell you, those kids are going to move out and leave you. You better know who it is. You better know who it is you're married to. Our eyes are the lamp of our body. Pastor, I want a great marriage, but are you paying attention to it? Pastor, I want to have a vibrant relationship with Christ. Are you paying attention to it? Are you giving it attention? Well, I'm here, aren't I? That's not all the attention you need. You know, I heard something a guy said yesterday about him wanting to spend time with the love of his life. And I won't repeat what he said, even though it was true. It was pretty funny. But I won't repeat it. But when I met Sherry, my attention was there. I wanted to make sure I got to the destination with her. What was the destination? Putting a ring on it. I would drive 3 hours one way just to have lunch with her and drive back on my day off. Why? She was worth it. Why? I wanted her to know that I was interested in her, not as just a friend. Are you getting this? What are you putting your attention to? Well, I want to be the best golfer, the best bowler. I want to be the best angler. I want to, none of that's wrong. But what are you giving all of your attention to? The reason why this is so important is because God loves you and because He's interested in your destination. What's my next one? I think I know. Yeah. God doesn't want you to lose a whole season of our lives. Some of us, how many have ever said this? Don't raise your hand because it's self-incriminating, but I will be the one. How many of us have said, man, I thought I'd be further along than I am today, but it's because you got sidetracked somewhere. because you didn't give your attention to it. You didn't give your attention to it. I read from earlier Hebrews 2 and 1, which says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. But in reading the New Testament, there's a name that you'll run into a couple of times, and his name is Demas. And Demas, in Colossians 4:14, Paul mentions him as someone who was along with Luke, sending his greeting to the church at Colossae. And then in Paul's letter to Philemon, he describes Demas as a fellow worker. But then a few years later in 2 Timothy 4:10, he mentions how Demas, because he loved the world, had deserted him. Now, of course, he doesn't give us any more specifics. But as he was walking the path God had for him, something grabbed his attention. Whatever that it had captured his attention began to influence his direction. What's got your attention? My hope, of course, is that today you realize that something may be grabbing or pulling your attention, and you'll refocus your attention on God. What's my next one, Craig? At the end of the day, the decisions we will make will determine the direction and therefore the destination of our lives. My last one, I think it is. Attention, direction, destination. Where's your attention? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We need to look honestly to ourselves and ask ourselves, am I on the path that's taking me closer toward the destination that I desire? I promise you I will not embarrass you, but if you don't know Jesus, that's the first decision you got to make, is to ask Jesus to come into your heart, your life. And if that's you, would you slip up your hand and you can put it right back down. I promise I won't embarrass you. Anybody in this building? Okay. Let me ask this question now. I'm going to assume that everybody's a born-again believer, so let me ask you this question, though. Pastor, I've lost some focus. But today I make a commitment to God to pay attention, to get back on the right track. Hands all over this building are starting to go up already. Hallelujah. Come on, would you stand with me?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.